Good evening. I guess there's a lot of things that can signal the end of summer. Going back to school. Vacation time's all been used up from work. All kinds of things can be signaled going back to and getting ready for the fall and the end of summer. And in a lot of ways for me tonight, that's what this is. This is the last of our summer series. A week from tonight, we start with the men's studies, the women's study, be up and rolling for the studies, the fall series and fall studies and all. So just want to make sure you know about that and are invited to that. Start next week, ladies both morning and evening, and then guys in the evening, the studies are available. We encourage both men and women to come and get plugged in and get to growing, and both promise to be awesome studies this fall. But this does indeed conclude our summer series we've been tackling hope in the hard times. Let's pray. Lord, just thinking about that last song, and one of these days, one of these moments, home at last, to see you face to face. Lord, to look into your eyes that know us and love us, and just thank you for that truth. Lord, as we continue this journey through this life, headed home in all we face, in these storms, in these trials, thank you. You've given us such a solid foundation for hope. So tonight, Lord, lead us. Help us just to celebrate that and just kind of soak in it. And as we do head into the fall, the women's and men's studies and everything, Lord, just saying, keep having your way around here. Keep having your way in us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, during this series of the summer, it was always my hope and prayer throughout all of it that we would resist it being just an academic type head knowledge thing, and hopefully be a time where we would just be encouraged, experientially encouraged to grow and experience all God would have for us, and just either to discover some new aspects to God's hope that He offers to us in all we go through, or maybe just to be reminded of it, just kind of a journey of encouragement for us. So I hope that's been the case. It's been my desire that be the case through it all. Tonight, this is a wrap-up time. It's going to be a little bit different. I thought I'd sit down and let one of you teach, so I'm going to just pick some. I know you've been really attentive and you're ready to go. I am going to seek your participation tonight as we do talk about some summary points and all. Turn to 1 Peter 3:5 with me. Turn to the book of 1 Peter 3:5 as we hit a couple of good wrap-up verses in this idea of hope in the hard times, these storms that we face. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Could you do it? If called upon by someone, hey, why do you have such hope? Why do you seem to be different than others around you? Could you tell them why? It admonishes us right here, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for. And you notice that? What are you giving a reason for, a defense for? Hope. A reason why you have hope. Now, I understand that because the answer for that is going to lead to the gospel. This is always a verse that is heavily quoted and cited as why we should be into apologetics and explain the gospel and all. And that's very appropriate. But you'll notice the context is, the focus here says, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks, a reason for the hope that is in you. Could you make a case for hope? The idea to defend here, that apologia is that word, and it is to mean almost like a legal term to make your case. Could you make a case for hope based on what we've gone through this summer, or just your understanding in general of Scripture and the gospel and everything else? Could you make a defense for hope to the coworker, to your classmate, Not just, here, let me call the pastor. He'll come over and talk to you. Could you, it says, could you give a defense for anyone who asks you what the reason is for the hope that is in you? That's what I want us to focus on as we begin our wrap-up time tonight. Hope is never meant to stay just with us. We're meant to explain it and pass it on and encourage others. So it's my desire that we could just make sure we go out and do just that. To give a defense, to give a reason for our hope. If this series has helped in that, then awesome. A pastor is called to teach because God calls him to teach. And ultimately, for any of you that teach, you know this. I'm just saying what everybody knows, and that is an attaboy, a well done, comes from the Lord. And so I'm not necessarily saying, you know, I was thinking of asking for a show of hands and all, but I'll let you do that with the Lord, I guess. But I just kind of wonder if anybody has been touched by, encouraged by this series. I hope you have been, or at least prompted you to make sure you have a fresh understanding of and be able to give that defense right away. Why? Why is hope so important? I was reading a magazine article today. I just want to read this one paragraph. It says, we also know that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in America, more common than death by automobile accidents. We know that suicide rates are rising. Between 1999 and 2010, adult suicide rates rose more than 28%. We know that major depressive episodes are highly linked to suicide, and that the symptom of hopelessness is most frequently reason why a person will end their life. The most often cited reason why someone chose to end their life, be it from obviously by things that they've said or others who knew them or whatever, is a sense of hopelessness. I was recently reading a book that was debunking all the negative images about marriage. And the reason she was citing these statistics and all, because she was saying there's such a great need to restore hope for people who go through troubled marriages. When I sit down to counsel, this is not unique to me, but anybody who counsels, when you're counseling either an individual or a couple, one of the first things you try to do is restore a sense of hope. Before they're motivated to work on maybe issues in their own life or issues in their marriage, people want to know, is there hope? Is there hope for me? Is there hope for us? You know, am I just in a canoe that's destined to go over the falls no matter how much I paddle? Or is there any hope in all the stuff that I'm facing? Hope. Have you ever thought about that? Why? Why did Paul make a point to say the greatest of these? You know, I mean, that the three that remain, faith, hope, and love. Faith we get, love we get. But notice, he says hope. Hope is a core principle, foundation of Christianity. And here we see why. God intends us to have hope. Without hope, we are hopeless. And man, what a struggle. A lot of people choose to check out because they don't have it. But God wants us to know there is great hope. You don't have to live in a hopeless state. Well, are we ready to give a defense of why there's hope? Again, the word defense there can mean just state your case. Could you give a defense for a case for hope? What is hope? Now, this is what I'm going to throw out to you. I'm going to start asking for a little bit of participation. Based on what we've learned, and I'm going to ask you for the Reader's Digest one sentence version. Based on what we've learned, anybody be so bold to share, what is hope? What's the world's view of hope? Who wants to say that? When the world uses the word hope, what do they mean? Jeff? Yeah, it's just kind of a, well, it's a wish based on nothing other than just a desire to something to happen, but no real foundation for it. Well, I hope so. That's the world. But what's the biblical word hope mean? What's biblical hope? Faith in God's truth. That's assured, you're settled. It's settled. That word was really hitting me earlier today. So important that these things be settled. That God's word is true, that it's sure. It's not just, it's maybe going to happen. It's an assurance that it will come to pass. More sure than anything we see around us. is God's word, his promises, his plans, his purposes. And so it's that settled understanding, and what we've learned here is it's so important to have this, settle the issue. If God said it, he meant it, and you can bank on it. It's a sure thing. Well, how is it sure? Why is it sure? Because of who your hope is in. It's who has said it. Biblical hope is so awesome because it's rooted in the character of God. And will therefore won't fail us. So no matter what I face, I can know God is faithful. We'll touch on that more in just a moment here. Now think about this. Look at that verse again. Sanctify. That means to set apart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be a set apart to him. Be all about him. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who what? I'm sorry, who what? Who ask you. Very good, David. Who ask your reason. Whew. They don't ask. I don't got to tell. Oh, man, I got out of that one. Nobody asked me all day long. Why didn't they? Because notice, if they're asking, they must be what? Seeing. They must be hearing or seeing a difference. There's something about you or me, if we're doing this as God would have us to, that people are going to hear, notice, pick up on, see something different. Something different enough that's going to prompt them. If people aren't asking around you, then or me, we should be concerned. It should be, whoa, I escaped. Nobody asked. We should go, whoa, not one person seemed to notice the difference in me from everybody else. Now, I'm not trying to be so hardcore that every day you've got to go beat yourself on the head. Nobody asked. I'm such a bad witness. That's not the idea either. But there should be, especially in times where the rest of the staff at work is freaking out, they're all stressed, and you've just got a piece or something where they go, whoa, what's going on, guy? Pastor Chuck said this, so live the kind of life that is an example that will provoke people to question you. What makes you different? Why is it that you are not upset over this? So let me ask you something. What are your thoughts on that? What might people be seeing? What might it look like? What might our lives look like that would prompt people to ask, why are you, what's this hope in you? Why are you different? What's going to be different about our lives? Just say it good and loud because I'm deaf. Getting deafer, put it that way. Is that a word? Deafer? What's that? Somehow there'll be joy in the midst of when other people are lack thereof. What else? There'll be a peace. Good. There'll be those fruits. We're talking about fruits of the Spirit. We're talking about just his work in and of our lives. Just all those things. There will be a hope. Hope will look. See, it's important to ask yourself, what does hope look like? And do I look like it? Is that a good question? What does hope look like? What does hope act like? What people hear and see? What does hope sound like? Do they hear hope in me? If I'm joining in like, oh, it's so bad. Oh, the boss is so stupid. Or whatever, you know. They're not going to hear hope in that. And when are we to do this? And always be ready. I was looking at some definitions of all this today and some commentaries. And one said, always. Ready means in a state of preparedness or readiness. You should know what you believe, why you believe it, and you should be ready, willing, and able to explain what you believe to someone else. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have all that, hey, well, that's the case, I'll come. People always throw questions. You go, well, I don't know, but I can tell you this. As far as you're concerned, here's what you'll need to know. And the basic loving gospel, not beating someone, but with compassion, explaining. Hey, I was lost. I'm found. I was dead, now I'm alive. He's totally given me a hope. You want to hear about it? Let me tell you about it. But we must be ready. We need to know what. Unfortunately, I don't know how many believers that name the Lord and all today, but how many could actually explain the gospel? In a pinch, could you tell a coworker the basics of the gospel? Do it. Practice it with someone else you know. So another believer says, let's practice this. Not to make it rote, but make sure you understand the principles. Because it says, always be ready. It means you should know what you believe and know why you believe it, what you believe, and how to explain it. Just the basic parts of it. So having said that, how might what we've looked at this summer, and those of you who weren't here, that's fine. But if you've been here, how might what we've looked at about hope help us apply this verse to our lives? What we've looked at this summer, the points about hope, be it the definition of hope or anything else we've learned. Anybody can think of something that either what we studied or something prompted you to go out and look at or consider something? How might it help you apply the verse that we just read? Any thoughts? Any particular thing we studied? What I did was, before you all came in, I put numbers under your chair. I've got a bowl of numbers here. I'm going to draw it, and if it's your number, you can go ahead and share. I think these things up. What can I say? But I'm just a way to encourage you. I remember one time Kathy and I were talking to some people, and we said, you know, there's no right answer. They go, yeah, but there's a wrong one. I don't want to give the wrong one. I don't want to stick out. It's okay, well, let's give you thoughts to think about. First of all, what might hopefully help us answer this, be ready to give a reason why, is that very, first of all, the definition itself, what biblical hope is and who it's rooted in, and therefore what makes it so sure. That should help us be ready to give a defense and live a life that would provoke those questions. I also made the statement during the summer that because of that, hope being rooted in the Lord, therefore it's anchored in the character of the Lord. That being the case, if you want to grow in hope, you want to increase the hope factor. If hope is rooted in the character of God, if you want to increase the hope factor, then how would we do that? What did I suggest? If you want to have more hope, if you want to know hope, then know who? Yeah. The more you get to know Him. What's the bumper sticker? Know, as in K-N-O-W. Know Jesus, no hope, but know, N-O, hope. Know Jesus, no hope. Anyway, point is, the more you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, the more you're going to know hope, because hope is rooted in Him. So the more you know Him, the more you get to know, experientially know His character, your hope factor is going to grow. What about the chain of hope? Anybody remember we talked about the chain of hope? Jeff, Jeff, tell me, Jeff.
Well, in Romans 5,
looking good. You're helping me. This is great. Talks about what you go through is really God takes, and it's that chain that builds the perseverance, the character, leading to hope, doesn't make a shame. All that whole chain of hope in Romans 5, those 1 through 5, those verses and all there. That chain of hope, that helps us apply this because it reminds us of the very process of the things we're going through and how God even redeems the storms we go through. And that boosts our hope factor. And gives me that encouragement in the midst of it. Indeed, that's so often how you know hope. Again, it's simple examples. But like we said, the one who's out on the bridge knows the strength of the bridge in a way the person on the shore just looking at it will never know it. You stand on the side of the bridge and go, yes, that bridge looks solid. That's theoretical. But the person out on the bridge goes, this bridge is solid. It will hold me. Storms drive us onto the bridge, so to speak. Tribulation trials drive us into Jesus. They work that work of character and perseverance and all in our lives, which results in a living hope. Because then we know that we know His word is sure, that He never lets us down. Anything else that we studied? David?
So, you know, building on what Jeff was saying about the chain of hope, because I didn't listen to what
But see, now you know because you've lived it. And it'll help you next time make a better choice. Thank you for sharing that. You're not alone in that. You're not alone in that, though. We've all had that, unfortunately. You've come a long way, David. You're doing good. You're doing good. Thanks for sharing that. But yeah, we've all, sometimes, I mean, we are all stubborn and we take our lumps and the Lord says, hey, in life will go. He loves us through it, but he goes, why? Sometimes we put ourselves through needless stuff because we don't take his perspective. We bring ourselves to bear upon it when we shouldn't or whatever. But that's good encouragement. Good encouragement. In this text, it does say here, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And again, that means, you know, it starts out, set yourself aside. Make sure that you look to him. He's the only true and living God, and settle the issue so you're sanctified. Set apart unto him. He and you, set apart together type of thing. And as you go forward in that relationship, in your hearts, heart is the center of your will, your being, your who you really are. And then be ready to share it. Now, if you can't, share it, you got to be growing in the Word. You got to know the Word. Again, you don't need to have everything down pat. No one does. We're all learning. But it's hard. You can't explain it if you don't know it. So again, get involved in the men's study. Get involved in the women's study. The more you know it, the more you're going to be able to share it. Before I move on too much here, it points out here, it says, always be ready to give a defense. And as I was reading one commentator, it reminded me of the old saying, and he had it in there in his commentary, it reminded me of this saying, been around forever, because this talks about really about defending the reason for your hope, which is in essence defending the gospel, the good news, the word of God. And I'm sure you've all heard this, but remember, how do you defend a lion? If it was your job to defend a lion, how would you defend it? Let him out. Let him out and get out of the way. He'll take care of defending himself. You don't got to defend the lion. Just let it loose. Let the word of God loose is the idea. Just let it go. Because that's where the power of God is. The gospel is the power of God into salvation. So in a sense, it's got to get out of the way. Don't worry about what I'm saying. Don't, well, I got a structure like this and plan it like that and intellectualize it. And he can just share it. Just let the word of God out there. You don't defend the word, you let it loose. I wanted to add this before we move on here. I read this. If you ever have a chance, have the chance to visit the catacombs in Rome, those tunnels under the ancient city where many of the early Christians were buried, you can see the symbols of faith on their tombs. Three common symbols appear. So this is on the early tombs. I understand there's many, many, many under the in the catacombs there of the early Christians, but they'd often put symbols on there, and three common symbols appear. Many of you probably heard this, just a reminder. The three common symbols that appear on the in the catacombs, in the tombs and all. Anybody wonder what they are, what the three are? Take a guess. Just one. What's one of the three? They don't list the three most common. It's the fish. Why? That's the ichthus. They would put the fish with the ichthus words, which are the first letters of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So they'd have the fish on a lot of the tombs. The second symbol a lot would be a dove, symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the third, one of the three most common, it said, of the symbols on the catacombs are what? What's that? What do you think it might be? Those of you who are aware of Hebrews 6, what is that, right around verse 19? Kathy says, anchor. Huh? An anchor. The anchor, of course, we know in Hebrews, talks about that it's an anchor for our soul. We have that anchor that holds within the veil. And all. Well, you know what? Let me read that real quick. Let me go over to Hebrews 6. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. And you have to read the whole section. But it talks about the hope that we have. It's an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, is anchored in the presence, in the Lord, behind the veil. It's anchored. We have this anchor with a chain that goes all the way into the throne, right to the Lord. Our anchor holds in Him. And it's called there an anchor of the soul. This hope we have as an anchor. And that would often pop up in the catacombs. They'd put an anchor on there. The hope that they had. The true and living hope that having moved out of here, they were really home. They went home. Anyway, let me read this. This is from a really good Bible study website thing. It says, even when faith falters, hope comes to the rescue. Hope is analogous to a long rope, a spiritual rope, that keeps us attached to the sovereignty and power of God. Victory over present circumstances comes when you focus on your eternal inheritance and praise God regardless of your circumstances. It says, a Christian's hope is grounded on the historical facts of the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Even when faith falters, hope comes to the rescue. Hope is that anchor for our soul. It holds within the veil. Why is it, all you sailors, why is an anchor important? Don't have to be a sailor to understand that, do we? Hold you steady in the storm, exactly. In storms, in hard times, there's an anchor. It holds me steady when everything else would pull me around and dash me against the rocks. Turn to Hebrews 10:23. Time zips along, and I want to look at this also. Kind of wrap up session tonight. Hebrews 10:23. I give thanks to Tim and his sharing about his beginning of Hebrews for the men this fall. I'm pretty sure this is what he referred to this Saturday, I think. If not, I'm giving credit anyway. but it reminded me of this verse that he was talking about Hebrews. But we know this. But just to get, we're kind of wrapping things up. And just an encouragement. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our what? Hope. Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Boy, is there a lot right there. Right there. Look at that. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. As we come to the end of our series, what a great admonition this is in light of the hard times we go through. Let me ask you something. What does it mean? What is it to hold fast? Anybody have an idea? What? Pretty self-explanatory, but give me another wording maybe for the same thing. What is it to hold fast to something? You connect yourself to it. What? You cling to it. Good. You cling to it. You wrap around and let it wrap around you. You really grasp onto it. You cling to it. You hold fast. How do I do that? How do I do that with hope? It says here, let us hold fast, cling to, grab on, connect to the confession, the proclamation, whatever, of our hope. How do you hold fast to hope? I thought, did I hear somebody say that? Joe Don. He said, oh no. What is that? How do you do that?
Review your basic scripture, stay in prayer, stay in the word.
Stay in the prayer, stay in word. What did you say at the beginning part? What did you say right at the beginning of that, right for that? Review the word. Know the word. Know the word. Pray. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, they're going to. So a practical way to hold fast is to make sure you stay in prayer. Good, good, good. To know the Word, stay in the Word. Good, good, good. When you're tempted to... Oh, Kathy, got it. Go for it.
To walk as if it's true.
To walk as if it's true because it is. Amen. How do you hold fast to it? Walk as if it's true because it is. Hold fast to it. It's your anchor. It's the foundation. It's going to keep from being dashed around. Everything. It makes all the difference. So hold on to it. Walk in it. Live it. Encourage others in it. And what do we hold fast to? It says the confession of our hope. The word confession means literally, it's a word that means to say the same or and so to agree to one statement. So to confess it means you're agreeing with God on this. You're agreeing with God. You're confessing, yes, that's true. Kathy says, you're agreeing, you're walking if it's true, because it is. So you're going to agree. I agree with that, God. I'm going to live as if it's true because it is. I agree with that. And you're to do this without wavering. The world, the enemy, somebody wants you to waver. They want to get you to doubt. with that, you're going to struggle. Instead, what's it say? For he who promised is faithful. So what's the foundation? How can I do this? How are we going to be able to hold fast without wavering? By remembering that he who promised is faithful. Which leads me back to where we started our whole summer. Turn all the way back to the Old Testament. What's the very first verse we looked at? And it's the one that was on our overhead every time we talked about this. And when it advertised it, so to speak, we had our announcements and all. Anybody remember? Who remembers? What was the very beginning verse? And the verse that I said probably one of my favorite Old Testament verses. Just everybody has a favorite verse, but it means so much to me. And when they would show it on Sundays, reminding you we were doing this on Wednesdays, it had it at the bottom. Lamentations 3. Turn to the book of Lamentations. Hard to find. Feel free to use the index of your Bible if you need it. That's okay. And then go to Lamentations 3. Because we just said the way you're going to hold fast without a wavering, he says, is for, meaning because, for he who promised is faithful. And that takes us back where we're going to end our time is in Lamentations 3, where we started, starting at verse 22. Lamentations 3, starting at verse 22. I'm listening for the rustling of pages. It's kind of like you hear when enough rustling pages decrease, you figure, okay, most people have found it by now. We're okay. Ready to go? Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Remember we just read, because he is faithful. Without wavering, because he who promises faithful. Here it says it again. Great is your faithfulness. Speak of God's faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I what? Hope in him. See, it takes us back to, how did he say this? What's he saying here? He comes to the conclusion that, you know, because God, his mercy is not consumed, his compassions fail not, new every morning, because his faithfulness is so great, because he never wavers. His promises are sure, like we just read in the other text. Here he's saying it again. Great is your faithfulness. Because of that, my soul says, the Lord, because the Lord's my portion, therefore I hope in him. What does it mean? If someone is really faithful to you, I don't mean they say they're faithful and bail. I don't mean the faithfulness of the world or a person. What does it mean when God says he's faithful? Loyal, always true. He will not fail. You can count on him. And so that's what's being declared here. The author has come to that realization. He knows that through experience. And he's able to say that. Therefore, because I've learned these things about you, Lord, you're my portion, I hope in you. I'm going to ask you guys to take some time and pray with one another. It'll be our last time here together on this series. And we've done this for a while now. Because a while back, the Lord said, don't just talk the whole time. We need to pray. And tonight I talked more. It's kind of a wrap-up session. But I do want you to stop now and go find a couple of others that you okay with praying. By the way, no one has to pray. If you don't feel comfortable in praying, whatever reason, feel free just to get in the group and be quiet. No one's going to judge you for that. But get in a group of 3, 4, 5 people. And right now, just pray specifically about the application of the growth in, the encouragement in what we just talked about tonight. This awesome hope that we have in the Lord. Find some others. Pray about that for a few moments. Then we're going to wrap up our time. I'd like to just pause for a moment and just thank each of you for coming out. And for those particularly who have traveled with us throughout the summer in this series, thank you. Again, it is my hope that somehow this time at least encouraged us or strengthened us a little more in the area of hope and all, and that we'll encourage one another with that. But thank you. And thank you for those who throughout the summer participated. It's hard sometimes to speak up and raise your hand and put yourself out there. But tonight was no exception. Thank you for those who spoke up tonight. But please know that in doing so, you are a source of blessing to many, and that encourages many. And a lot of times, just your sharing out loud reinforces what maybe someone else is struggling with or whatever. So all I'm saying is, Thank you to all of you. We press on now into our summer, excuse me, our fall series and all with the men and women and all, but we'll see what God has for us. If you need prayer tonight, specific prayer, there'll be prayer partners in the corner back over here, my right, your far left. And Lord willing, see you on Sunday, hopefully. Let's pray. Father, we do not take lightly this awesome, true, and living hope that you've extended to us. Thank you, Lord, that as we travel through these storms, there is that sure foundation. There's that anchor that holds. Thank you, Lord, that you give us you. You've given us the good news. The truth is all wrapped up in that. The settled issues, your sure promises, that we can do exactly that. We can live as if they're true because they are. All that's wrapped up in your wonderful, living, true hope. We thank you for it. I pray, Lord, that when we face those times, you'll prompt us in it. You'll remind us of it. You'll help us just to really lay hold, like we said tonight. And Lord, help us live in a way that it might prompt some questions. We might ask what the difference is. Help us always to point to you. So we're saying thank you for blessing our times as we tackle this year, this summer. Now we press on to see what you have next for us. Thank you for it all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close in song.